In this chapter, I discuss the final section in the Anapanasati Sutta, which clarifies the overall purpose and potential of cultivating mindfulness of breathing in 16 steps. This clarification begins by correlating the four tetrads to the four satipatthanas. Based on this correlation, the Anapanasati Sutta then shows how the awakening factors can be aroused and how they lead to knowledge and liberation. I begin by briefly surveying the correlation between the four tetrads and the four satipatthanas, and then take up the prominence of the awakening factors in the practice of mindfulness of breathing. Then I examine in detail the implicit and explicit indications provided in the Anapanasati Sutta regarding the cultivation of the seven awakening factors. Next, I turn to the need for balancing the awakening factors, and then take up the inclining towards awakening in such a way that they lead to knowledge and liberation. After its exposition of the 16 steps, the Anapanasati Sutta continues by relating the resulting four tetrads to the four satipatthanas as follows. Contemplation of the body is understanding long breath, short breath, experiencing whole body and calming bodily activity. Contemplation of feeling tones is experience joy, happiness, mental activity and calm mental activity. Contemplation of the mind is experiencing the mind, gladdening, concentrating and liberating it. Contemplation of dharmas is contemplating impermanence, dispassion, cessation and letting go. The main rationale for this correlation appears to be simply that with the first tetrad, aspects of the body are contemplated. With the second tetrad, feeling tones are a prominent theme. The third tetrad turns to the mind, and the fourth tetrad takes up central aspects of the Dharma. In the course of establishing this correlation, the Anapanasati Sutta indicates that each tetrad of mindfulness of breathing leads to dwelling diligent, clearly comprehending and mindful, free from desire and discontent with regard to the world. The same phrase occurs in the Satipatthana Sutta in relation to each Satipatthana. This goes to show that each tetrad of mindfulness of breathing functions in the same basic mode as the corresponding Satipatthana in the Satipatthana Sutta. A simile found in a discourse in the Samyutta Nikaya and its parallel illustrate the potential of each tetrad for diminishing unwholesome states with the example of a chariot that drives over a mound of soil at a crossroads. No matter from which of the four directions the chariot comes, it will flatten the mound. Similarly, no matter which of the four satipatthanas is being cultivated with the help of the corresponding tetrad, it will flatten the mound of unwholesomeness in the mind, presumably in the sense of removing even the last traces of unwholesome tendencies. This conveys the impression that each tetrad can lead to liberation. From a practical viewpoint, this leaves open the possibility of giving emphasis to one particular tetrad during one's practice. At the same time, however, the dynamics of the whole scheme of 16 steps would make it preferable if we proceed at least once through all four tetrads, one after the other, before taking up a single tetrad for further practice. The commendability of such an approach becomes evident on closer inspection of the dynamics of the whole scheme and of its relationship to an arousal of the awakening factors. Before turning to that topic, however, I briefly want to set the scene by discussing the prominence of the awakening factors in the mode of practice presented in the Anapanasati Sutta. In the Satipatthana Sutta, the contemplation of the awakening factors features as one of a range of different exercises and comes up only under the fourth Satipatthana. In the progression of practice described in the Anapanasati Sutta, rather than being the domain of contemplation of dharmas only, the cultivation relates to each of the four tetrads. In this way, the Anapanasati Sutta places considerable emphasis on the awakening factors, which clearly reflects a distinct concern of mindfulness of breathing in 16 steps. This apparent emphasis on the awakening factors might explain the function of mindfulness of breathing in the Giddhimananda Sutta as the last of a series of 10 perceptions. Hearing a recitation of the entire set of 10 perceptions led to Giddhimananda's recovery from disease. According to another set of 3 discourses in the Bodhjanga Samyutta, a recitation of the awakening factors had the similar effect of bringing about a cure of illness. In each case, it can safely be assumed that the respective recitations led to a corresponding mental cultivation by the listener. Perhaps the case of Giddhimananda is similar to these 3 other discourses, in that as a climax of the different perceptions he was taught, it could have been, in particular, the arousing and cultivation of the awakening factors through the 16 steps of mindfulness of breathing that served to enable his return to health. An emphasis on the awakening factors could also explain the Buddha's apparent predilection for the practice of mindfulness of breathing, to the extent that he would spend a whole retreat dedicated to its practice. Given that the cultivation of the awakening factors is considered a distinct discovery of the Buddha, it would be natural for him to engage in a form of meditation practice that stands out for its close relationship to these 7 mental qualities. The significance of mindfulness of breathing that emerges in this way could also provide a context to the introductory narration to the Anapanasati Sutta. This narration depicts an assembly of monastics engaged in meditation practices of various types. In this setting of earnest practitioners, the Buddha is on record as expounding the 16 steps of mindfulness of breathing. This points to the eminent role of this particular meditation practice, and perhaps also to its potential to enhance other meditation practices through training the skill of remaining well anchored in the present moment. In the approach to practice presented here, this takes place through peripheral awareness of the process of breathing and the skillful employment of wholesome types of joy. The instructions on mindfulness of breathing in the Anapanasati Sutta lead up to an exposition on how the whole set of 7 awakening factors can be developed with each of the 4 tetrads, which comes with helpful information on the nature of each awakening factor. The passage in question specifies that by working with any tetrad and thereby cultivating the respective satipatthana, the following takes place. One dwells contemplating diligent, clearly comprehending and mindful, free from desire and discontent with regard to the world. At that time, mindfulness is established continuously. At a time when mindfulness is established in one continuously, at that time the awakening factor of mindfulness is aroused in one. At that time one cultivates the awakening factor of mindfulness. At that time, the awakening factor of mindfulness comes to be accomplished in one by cultivation. Dwelling mindfully in this way, one discerns, investigates, and makes an examination of that state with wisdom. At a time when dwelling mindfully in this way, one discerns, investigates, and makes an examination of that state with wisdom, at that time, the awakening factor of investigation of dharmas is aroused in one. At that time, one cultivates the awakening factor of investigation of dharmas. At that time, the awakening factor of investigation of dharmas comes to be accomplished in one by cultivation. In one who discerns, investigates, and makes an examination of that state with wisdom, unwavering energy is aroused. At a time when unwavering energy is aroused in one who discerns, investigates, and makes an examination of that state with wisdom, at that time, the awakening factor of energy is aroused in one, At that time, one cultivates the awakening factor of energy. At that time, the awakening factor of energy comes to be accomplished in one by cultivation. In one who has aroused energy, unworldly joy arises. At a time when unworldly joy arises in one who has aroused energy, at that time the awakening factor of joy is aroused in one. At that time one cultivates the awakening factor of joy. At that time the awakening factor of joy comes to be accomplished in one by cultivation. In one who is joyous, the body becomes tranquil and the mind becomes tranquil. At a time when in one who is joyous, the body becomes tranquil and the mind becomes tranquil, at that time the awakening factor of tranquility is aroused in one. At that time one cultivates the awakening factor of tranquility. At that time the awakening factor of tranquility comes to be accomplished in one by cultivation. In one whose body is tranquil and who is happy, the mind becomes concentrated. At a time when in one whose body is tranquil and who is happy, the mind becomes concentrated, at that time the awakening factor of concentration is aroused in one. At that time one cultivates the awakening factor of concentration. At that time the awakening factor of concentration comes to be accomplished in one by cultivation. One carefully oversees, without interfering, the mind that has become concentrated in this way. At a time when one carefully oversees, without interfering, the mind that has become concentrated in this way, at that time the awakening factor of equipoise is aroused in one. At that time one cultivates the awakening factor of equipoise. At that time the awakening factor of equipoise comes to be accomplished in one by cultivation. Although this passage relates the arousing of the awakening factors to a single of the four tetrads of mindfulness of breathing, this does not amount to a recommendation to limit practice in principle to one tetrad only. In fact, closer inspection of the 16 steps described in the Anapanasati Sutta reveals potential stimulants for these awakening factors that are implicitly built into the preliminaries and the steps in the first three tetrads. This potential makes it indeed preferable, as briefly mentioned above, to proceed at least once through the entire set of 16 steps, and only then turn to a cultivation of the awakening factors in relation to individual tetrads. In what follows, I will first survey the awakening factors individually and discuss how they can be cultivated during an initial progression through the 16 steps. Then I will relate their cultivation to individual tetrads as a mode of practice that can be adopted after having once progressed through the entire scheme. Before delving into such details, however, I would like to present a simile as a way of conveying a general sense of the type of practice I will be describing. A cultivation of the seven awakening factors by first proceeding through all 16 steps and then taking up individual tetrads could be illustrated with the example of walking up a mountain, with benches that afford beautiful views, situated at roughly equal distance on three spots along the trail, and a fourth bench on top of the mountain for viewing the whole panorama. The walking up corresponds to the different steps of mindfulness of breathing, the enjoying of the scenery while seated on one of the benches represents the presence of the awakening factors while dwelling in the last step of one of the four tetrads. At first, we can walk straight up all the way to the mountaintop and there sit down to enjoy the scenery. Similarly, to get started, it is preferable to proceed once through the whole series of 16 steps. After having walked through the entire scheme of four tetrads once, we could choose one of the tetrads according to what appears to fit our present condition best. In terms of the mountain simile, after having had an overview of the scenery from the top of the mountain, we can walk over to any of the other benches in order to sit there and enjoy the distinct view of the surroundings that each of them can offer. throughout the walk, we are free to decide at what speed to proceed and how much time to spend on each bench. And similarly, we are free to decide at what speed to proceed through a tetrad of mindfulness of breathing. After proceeding through a tetrad at whatever speed we find appropriate, we could then combine its last step with cultivating all of the awakening factors. Having dwelt for some time in this mode of practice, it might be opportune to take up another tetrad for practice or else to repeat the present one over again. When proceeding through any of the four tetrads, we might either stay for quite some time with each individual step or else proceed swiftly in order to reach the final step in the tetrad and then remain dwelling in the corresponding meditative theme. Throughout, the main concern is maintaining the awakening factors in balance. In what follows, I proceed from the general illustration of the practice with the help of the mountain simile to an examination of individual awakening factors and of potential stimulants for each that are implicit in the preliminaries and individual steps in the first three tetrads. After summarizing the relationship that emerges in this way, in a subsequent part, I will then discuss the cultivation of the awakening factors in relation to single tetrads. In order for mindfulness as the first awakening factor to be established continuously, we need to dwell contemplating, diligent, clearly comprehending and mindful, free from desire and discontent with regard to the world. In the Anapanasati Sutta, such establishing of mindfulness has its starting point in the preliminary practice of having established mindfulness to the fore, following which mindful one breathes in and mindful one breathes out. Already at this stage, in the mode of practice presented here, we have gained some degree of freedom from desire and discontent through working with the preliminaries in the way described in the first chapter. Ongoing practice of the subsequent steps of mindfulness of breathing will keep strengthening this type of freedom. The cultivation of mindfulness can be seen to go through a gradual process of maturation with the ensuing steps. From just being mindful of inhalations and exhalations, the first two steps combine mindfulness with a stronger focus on the length of the breath. In the remaining steps, mindfulness needs to encompass peripheral awareness of the breath and other meditative topics. The gradual maturation of mindfulness that takes place in this way corresponds to the meditative evolution that underlies the four satipatthanas, from body via feeling tone and mind to dharmas. For engendering a cultivation of the other awakening factors, being mindful of the breath needs to be combined with an element of inquiry or investigation. This, first of all, results in a clear distinction between inhalations and exhalations, which can already serve to arouse the second awakening factor, investigation of dharmas, in an incipient stage. The same factor then more fully manifests when investigating the length of the breath in order to determine if it is long or short. According to the description in the Anapanasati Sutta, this awakening factor arises when one discerns, investigates, and makes an examination of that state with wisdom. Here, the meaning of examining with wisdom that state, tang dhammang, need not be taken as referring to the breath only. Instead, it seems preferable to understand this expression as covering also the state of the mind brought into being through whichever step is being practiced. Directing investigation towards our overall condition has an immediate benefit insofar as it supports the continuity of mindfulness, simply because any tendency towards distraction will more easily and quickly be noticed. It also offers a field of examination of added interest, as our overall condition exhibits further diversity than the breath alone. Another advantage of such an understanding of the scope of investigation of dharmas is that it accords better with the indication made elsewhere in the Pali discourses that distinguishing between what is wholesome, skillful, and what is unwholesome, unskillful, serves as a nourishment for this awakening factor. Such a distinction makes considerably more sense in relation to the overall state of the mind than in relation to the breath. After all, however thoroughly it is explored, from the viewpoint of the overarching goal of gaining liberating insight, there is little to be learned about the breath, apart from the fact that it is impermanent. A more fruitful arena for the deployment of investigation would be our present overall condition. This does have an evident relationship to the wisdom mentioned in the instruction. One discerns, investigates, and makes an examination of that state with wisdom. Since such investigation has a greater potential to generate wisdom than examining just our breathing. In practical terms, already when discerning the length of the breath, investigation can also scrutinize the condition of the mind. Discerning how the modality of more focused attention affects our mental condition. This helps to decide when it is opportune to turn to the whole body with the next two steps and proceed in the ensuing two tetrads to feeling tones and the mind, respectively. With the final tetrad on contemplation of dharmas, the progression of insight, starting off with impermanence, becomes the object of investigation. In this way, the investigative wisdom is at first somewhat rudimentary, as it is merely concerned with discerning aspects of the breath and how attending to them impacts the mind. But with the subsequent steps, the same basic activity of discerning, investigating, and making an examination comes to encompass other dimensions of the meditative experience that have a more prominent relationship to wisdom. This is particularly evident with the insight perspectives in the final tetrad on contemplation of dharmas. In a way, investigating and examining the breath could be considered to sharpen the sword of wisdom, as it were, preparing it for the tasks that lie ahead. These tasks become gradually more refined and eventually lead all the way up to the brink of liberating wisdom. In this way, a gradual maturation of investigation of dharmas is possible in the course of progressing through the tetrads. In order for such an investigation to bear its potential fruits, it needs to be sustained. This is where energy comes in, which inspires and sustains the process of examination. Energy in turn is generated by the interest stimulated by investigation. According to the Anapanasati Sutta, in one who discerns, investigates, and makes an examination of that state with wisdom, unwavering energy is aroused. In the approach to practice described here, the degree of mental stability that has resulted from the investigative focus on the breath during the first two steps becomes a continuous element in the background of the remaining steps, maintained by keeping the breath in peripheral awareness. This is where the awakening factor of energy comes in, namely by ensuring that such peripheral awareness of the breath is sustained along the main steps of practice. It is in this way that the investigation of inhalations and exhalations carried out during the first two steps serves to arouse the energy required for maintaining peripheral awareness of inhalations and exhalations during the ensuing progression. Here energy needs to be indeed unwavering in order to fulfill its task, which is, in particular, to ensure that the hindrances are kept at bay. The task of energy continues to evolve as we progress through the ensuing steps, whereas maintaining awareness of the alternation between inhalations and exhalations alongside experiencing the whole body is fairly simple. With ensuing tetrads, the task expands to bridging the bodily phenomena of the breath and experiences of feeling tones and mental states. With liberating the mind, A level of practice is eventually reached where energy has become very subtle, yet nevertheless present. Even the smallest amount of active interference would run counter to the thrust of this step. At the same time, a loss of energy would result in distraction. The balance of energy achieved at this juncture then sustains the insight contemplations in the last tetrad. The gradual building up of the practice during the first tetrad on contemplation of the body leads over to experiencing joy as the first step in the second tetrad on contemplation of feeling tones. The energy aroused earlier needs to be steady, without becoming forceful or leading to tenseness, as this would prevent joy from arising. This joy arises when bodily activity has become calm, but the alternation between inhalations and exhalations is still kept continuously in peripheral awareness. It is in this way that in one who has aroused energy, unworldly joy arises. As mentioned previously, such joy is the maturation of the pleasant feeling tone of being in the present moment, combined with the bodily tranquility reached in the previous step. Similar to the other awakening factors discussed so far, joy also goes through a process of gradual maturation by leading on to happiness in the next step. In a way, happiness could be considered as providing a transition from the full experience of joy in the preceding step to shifting the pleasant feeling tone of being in the present moment to peripheral awareness with the next step of this tetrad. The same continues and eventually flowers into the more profound gladdening of the mind in the second step of the third tetrad on contemplation of the mind. Throughout the remainder of the practice, the pleasant feeling tone that results from being in the here and now continues to counter the mind's tendency to distraction. And the Anapanasati Sutta explains that in one who is joyous, the body becomes tranquil and the mind becomes tranquil. In the progression of 16 steps, bodily tranquility actually precedes joy and serves as its proximate condition in the form of calming bodily activity. This reveals that the relationship between joy and tranquility is not just about the former serving as a condition for the latter. Instead, there is some degree of interrelation between joy and tranquility. A basis in bodily tranquility directly feeds joy. Such joy then leads via two intermediate steps to the eventual experience of mental tranquility. When the completion of the second tetrad on contemplation of feeling tones results in calming mental activity. The tranquility of body and mind established with the completion of the second tetrad on contemplation of feeling tones provides a foundation for the gaining of concentration with the third tetrad on contemplation of the mind. This is in line with the indication that in one whose body is tranquil and who is happy, the mind becomes concentrated. The reference to being happy in this statement could best be related to gladdening the mind, the step that directly precedes concentrating the mind. Perhaps this is why gladdening needs to be brought in at this stage of practice as a proximate cause for concentration, even though joy and happiness had already been aroused with the previous tetrad on contemplation of feeling tones. Whereas joy and happiness functioned as aids for progressing from bodily tranquility to its mental counterpart in calming mental activity, at the present juncture, gladdening the mind serves to ripen tranquility into concentration. In this way, gladdening the mind appears to have the task of ensuring a deepening of concentration. Although some degree of concentration has been established right at the outset when focusing on the length of the breath, it is with the third step in the third tetrad on contemplation of the mind that it comes to the fore with the explicit injunction to concentrate the mind. The degree of concentration achieved in this way ensures firm stability of the mind for what comes next. This holds particularly for the next step that completes the third tetrad on contemplation of the mind, which is liberating the mind. Such liberating of the mind requires indeed that one carefully oversees, without interfering, the mind that has become concentrated in this way. Regardless of whether we take this step as a basis for entry into absorption or for cultivating insight, such careful overseeing without interfering is what this particular step requires above all. In this way, the continuity of mindful investigation that is supported by the steadiness of energy, the inspiration of joy, the grounding of tranquility, and the composure of concentration eventually converges into carefully overseeing the concentrated mind without interfering. In the case of this last awakening factor, the Chinese parallel offers the additional information that the required mental condition of balance and equipoise is reached due to completely leaving behind desire and discontent. Although these have already been set aside at the outset of the practice, at the present juncture, any remaining trace of inclining towards desire or discontent, however subtle, is definitely left behind. A build-up to this level of equipoise occurs during the progression through the previous two tetrads on contemplation of the body and feeling tones. The steps in these two tetrads follow a pattern where one step that is more energizing is followed by one step that is more tranquil, a constant alternation that can be understood to build up and gradually fortify the balance of equipoise. This alternation takes the following form. Long breath leads to short breath. Experiencing the whole body leads to calming bodily activity. Experiencing joy leads to the comparatively calmer happiness. Experiencing mental activity leads to its calming. The third tetrad on contemplation of the mind then serves to build up to a level of equipoise that facilitates the mind becoming liberated. This tetrad differs from the previous two, in which the progression from the first two steps to the third and fourth step involves some degree of thematic shift. In the first tetrad on contemplation of the body, this is a shift from the breath to the body and its activity. In the second tetrad on contemplation of feeling tones, this is a shift from pleasant mental states to mental activity. In the third tetrad on contemplation of the mind, however, a single theme continues throughout: the mind. It is the mind which is to be experienced, gladdened, concentrated, and liberated. This meditative progression leads up to a peak of equipoise, with the final step of liberating the mind. It is based on this peak of equipoise that the insight contemplations in the last tetrad can unfold their full potential. The above survey of each individual awakening factor shows how a progression from the preliminaries to the conclusion of the third tetrad can actualize each of these seven qualities. Due to the importance of this aspect of the practice, in what follows I briefly summarize the relationships between individual steps and awakening factors that have emerged in this way. The practice begins with the initial practice of establishing mindfulness to the fore, such that mindfully we breathe in and out. The distinction to be drawn between inhalations and exhalations already requires some degree of investigation, which becomes fully prominent with the first two steps by investigating the length of the breath in order to discern long and short breath. The remainder of the instructions comes with the injunction to train. Such training requires the arousal of energy. In the way of practice presented here, it involves combining the individual step to be executed with maintaining peripheral awareness of the breath. The first step of the second tetrad on contemplation of feeling tones explicitly refers to joy. Although in the mode of practice suggested here, some subtle pleasant feeling tone has been aroused right at the outset when establishing mindfulness, it comes into full bloom in the form of joy with the onset of the second tetrad. Already with the final step of the first tetrad on contemplation of the body, tranquility of the body came to the forefront through calming bodily activity. The final step of the second tetrad on contemplation of feeling tones involves precisely the same calming, but with mental activity. This neatly mirrors the fact that the awakening factor of tranquility has a bodily and a mental dimension. The combination of joy, together with happiness and gladness, with tranquility of body and mind naturally leads to concentration, which forms the third step in the third tetrad on contemplation of the mind. Although not explicitly mentioned, the last awakening factor of equipoise can be understood as underlying the last step in the third tetrad on contemplation of the mind, where, with liberating the mind, the supreme degree of inner balance is reached. The Anapanasati Sutta describes the actual activity of the awakening factor of equipoise with the term ajjupekkhati, which I understand to mean to oversee without interfering. This is precisely what is required when liberating the mind, not interfering, while at the same time still having a full overview of the situation. It is in this way that either entry into absorption can take place, or else the mind can be liberated from any self-referentiality and from any I-making and my-making. These implicit cross-relations between individual steps and awakening factors complement two similar cross-relations noted in previous chapters. One of these obtains between individual steps and the factors of absorption. The other concern precedence among individual steps to discerning the impermanent nature of each of the five aggregates. In this way, the cultivation of tranquility and insight can build on groundwork already established during the progression to the first three tetrads. Adding to these the possibility that each of the seven awakening factors can be stimulated in the way described above, the profundity of the instructions in the Anapanasati Sutta becomes readily apparent. Based on the correlations between individual steps and awakening factors described above, a progression through the preliminaries in the first three tetrads can be employed to arouse the awakening factors or to maintain and strengthen their presence. Once this has been accomplished, it can be helpful for a moment to become fully aware of the quality of the mind when it is being enriched by all of these seven awakening factors. This is similar to the suggestion in relation to the preliminaries to mindfulness of breathing to take a moment for just being with the quality of the mind in which mindfulness has come to the fore, similar to meeting a good old friend whom we are going to be working with on some project. In the same way, shining the light of awareness on the rich condition of our mind at the present juncture of practice will strengthen our ability to maintain the presence of the awakening factors during ensuing practice. The meditative progression of arousing the seven awakening factors one after the other could at times be undertaken with an emphasis on a particular one of these factors. Working with an individual awakening factor in such a way could take the form of moving continuously through whatever steps precede the step that is particularly prone to arousing the chosen awakening factor, in clear awareness of the contribution to its eventual arising. Reaching the specific step in question can lead to dwelling at length in the experience of the full arousal of the chosen awakening factor. The ensuing progression through the remaining steps could then take place with an eye on the contribution made by these awakening factors to their smooth unfolding. Such a mode of practice can help to arrive at a clear practical understanding of the nature of an individual awakening factor, of how it can be aroused, and how it can be gradually matured. A discourse in the Bodhjanga Samyutta reports Sariputta's ability to remain established in one particular awakening factor of his choice, even for a third part of a day. This shows that there is nothing wrong in dedicating some time to familiarizing ourselves with the specific flavor and distinct characteristics of one awakening factor through its individual cultivation before moving on to the others. In this way, a lively form of practice can ensue, where we keep freely choosing how much time to accord to individual steps as well as to individual awakening factors, in keeping with what seems to fit our situation best. Guided by the overarching concern of cultivating all of the seven awakening factors alongside remaining aware of the impermanent nature of the breath. Besides the implicit relationship between individual awakening factors and particular steps, the Anapanasati Sutta explicitly describes the cultivation of all seven awakening factors based on each of the four tetrads. In what follows, I apply this to actual practice. If we turn to the first tetrad on contemplation of the body, after having once proceeded through all 16 steps, practice can start off by just attending to the distinction between inhalations and exhalations, and then discerning if these are long or else short, followed by experiencing the whole body and calming bodily activity. Proceeding through these at whatever speed appears appropriate for this particular sitting, contemplation of the body through mindfulness of breathing has been completed. Based on the condition of deep bodily relaxation and calmness of bodily activity that has been established with the last step of this first tetrad, the awakening factors can be cultivated alongside continuous awareness of the process of breathing in the following manner. Mindfulness furnishes the basic presence of the mind. As we are mindfully aware of the calmness of bodily activity, investigation of dharmas can serve to scrutinize for any possible remainder of tension that can still be calmed. Such investigation leads to and is sustained by unwavering energy. Energy in turn has the task of ensuring continuity, in particular of peripheral awareness of the breath alongside bodily calmness. From having established energy in this way, next we need to make sure that unworldly joy can arise out of the experience of bodily tranquility, avoiding any tenseness or pushiness. Such joy provides the finishing touch to our ability to stay in the present moment by endowing it with the natural attraction that pleasant experiences have to keep the mind in place and avoid it becoming distracted. Once we have become joyous, bodily tranquility naturally leads to resting bodily and mentally grounded in the present experience. As a result of such resting, happiness arises and the mind becomes effortlessly concentrated. It simply wants to remain in the wholeness of composure rather than chasing after this or that, and thereby get involved again in the fragmentation characteristic of ordinary experience. All we need to do is to oversee carefully the concentrated mind without interfering. While gradually proceeding through the awakening factors in this way, we might deliberately formulate the notion of a specific awakening factor once, and then just rest in the resulting experience without further formulating concepts for another 2, 3, or more breaths. This helps to avoid being lost in mental fabrication without actually experiencing the distinct flavor of the respective awakening factor. Once each awakening factor has been well established, we just dwell with all seven awakening factors present in a condition of the mind that is characterized by the calmness of bodily activity, all the while remaining aware of the changing nature of the inhalations and exhalations. Before turning to the next tetrad, I would like to note that the presentation in the Anapanasati Sutta clearly envisages the cultivation of all awakening factors to be possible based on the first tetrad of body contemplation only. For that purpose, however, it would be advisable to proceed once through the entire scheme of 16 steps. Having progressed once through the whole scheme will make it much easier to cultivate all of the awakening factors with the first four steps, since these have already been previously aroused during the earlier progression to the first three tetrads. In the case of the second tetrad on contemplation of feeling tones, attending to the pleasant feeling tone of being in the present moment can lead to the arousal of joy and the experience of happiness, leading to experiencing and calming mental activity. The resultant still mind is now the condition or state that serves as the reference point for the cultivation of the awakening factors. Given that this tetrad corresponds to contemplation of feeling tone, it is in particular the subtle pleasant feeling tone of the still mind that can be allowed to stand out prominently. Mindfulness is aware of the condition of mental calmness. Investigation of it engenders energy and joy, which in turn lead to tranquility, concentration, and equipoise. Each of these functions in a way comparable to the description given above in relation to the first tetrad of contemplation of the body. With all of the awakening factors present in the mind, we continue to dwell, for as long as seems appropriate, in the pleasant experience of the still mind, keeping the alternation between inhalations and exhalations in the periphery of our field of attention throughout. Getting started on the third tetrad on contemplation of the mind can take place by turning to the knowing of the breath, and from that to experiencing the mind. This then leads to gladdening, concentrating, and liberating the mind, dedicating as much time as seems appropriate to each of these four steps. Once the mind has been temporarily liberated from self-referentiality, the awakening factors take this mental condition as their reference point. Their gradual growth culminates in a state of mind well liberated from self-referentiality and endowed with all seven awakening factors, while at the same time we remain aware of inhalations and exhalations. The same basic pattern applies to the fourth tetrad on contemplation of dharmas, which can take the alternation between inhalations and exhalations as its starting point to contemplate impermanence, followed by dispassion, fading away, cessation, and letting go as completely as possible. This is now the mental condition that serves as the reference point for the awakening factors, in combination with continuous awareness of the process of breathing. The fourth tetrad is also the one best suited to serve as the final one, after working flexibly with various tetrads, in order to ensure that the finishing touch of insight falls into place. In this way, the overall state of our mind after the completion of each tetrad can become the reference point for the cultivation of the awakening factors. First tetrad, deep bodily relaxation. Second tetrad, the pleasant fading tone of the still mind. Third tetrad, the mind liberated from self-referentiality. And fourth tetrad, letting go by inclining towards nirvana. The above presentation is only meant to depict a possible mode of practice and not to restrict the cultivation of the awakening factors to the last step of each tetrad only. In fact, the same can be done with each step. This is particularly the case for the insight perspectives in the last tetrad on contemplation of dharmas, each of which can be taken up on its own for sustained cultivation of the awakening factors. Once the awakening factors have been established, they need to be balanced with each other. Mindfulness serves as a foundation that is required throughout. Based on mindfulness being well established, the more energetic awakening factors of investigation of dharma's energy and joy need to be brought into harmonious balance with the more calming awakening factors of concentration, tranquility, and equipoise. Mindfulness monitors this balance of the awakening factors. The monitoring function of mindfulness is relevant for the entire scheme of practice. In fact, it is even needed if we head for absorption attainment with liberating the mind, the last step of the third tetrad on contemplation of the mind. Here mindfulness takes the role of supervising the presence and continuity of the absorption factors and their balanced cooperation to bring about and maintain the actual experience of absorption. Balancing the awakening factors while practicing different steps of mindfulness of breathing, or alongside other types of meditation practices, is a bit like driving a car with manual transmission in a town. Most of our attention is on what is happening outside. We keep in mind the direction we want to go in and continue to observe the condition of the traffic. But part of our attention is also on the car itself, so that we notice when we need to change gears. This awareness of how the engine is doing in relation to the overall traffic situation is similar to the awareness of how the mind is doing in relation to the overall situation of our meditation practice. Just as we keep noting if we need to change gear in order to drive smoothly, so we keep noting which of these awakening factors needs to be strengthened so that our practice continues smoothly. What follows is meant to provide some additional tools which are not necessarily relevant for each meditator. A possible tool to achieve a balancing of the awakening factors during the practice of mindfulness of breathing in the way presented here relates to individual steps in each tetrad. Closer examination shows that in each tetrad, one of the first two steps tends to have somewhat more affinity with the three energizing awakening factors, whereas one of the remaining two steps tends to have a bit more affinity with the calming awakening factors. There are steps that can be given more emphasis to bring about an energizing effect and thus to strengthen in particular the cultivation of the three awakening factors of investigation of Dhamma's energy and joy, are the effort to focus on the length of the breath at the outset of the first tetrad, contemplation of the body, the experiencing of joy at the outset of the second tetrad, contemplation of feeling tones, the gladdening of the mind as the second step in the third tetrad, contemplation of the mind, and the contemplative investigation of impermanence at the outset of the fourth tetrad, contemplation of dharmas. In this way, energizing steps that could be related to investigation of dharma's energy and joy are understand the length of the breath, experience its joy, gladden the mind, and contemplate impermanence. Other steps can be given special attention to bring about a more calming effect and thereby strengthen the cultivation of the three awakening factors of concentration, tranquility, and equipoise. These are calming bodily activity as the last step in the first tetrad, contemplation of the body, calming mental activity as the last step in the second tetrad, contemplation of feeling tones, concentrating the mind as the third step in the third tetrad, contemplation of the mind, and contemplating letting go as the last step in the fourth tetrad, contemplation of dharmas. In this way, calming steps that could be related to concentration, tranquility, and equipoise are calm bodily activity, calming mental activity, concentrate the mind, contemplate letting go. In this way, strengthening one of the two groups of three awakening factors could be related to a particular step in whichever of the four tetras we are currently practicing. Such emphasis could take the form either of an increase of mental intention, or of remaining with this particular step for longer than the time dedicated to other steps in this tetrad. Suppose more energy is required, then the energizing steps of focusing on the length of the breath, experiencing joy and gladness, and contemplating impermanence could receive more room or emphasis in our practice. Suppose calmness is required, then the tranquilizing steps of calming the activity of body and mind, concentrating the mind, and contemplating letting go could be those in which we dwell a little longer or to which we give particular attention. Besides working with a particular step in one of the tetrads, balance can also be achieved and maintained by attending to the alternation between inhalations and exhalations. The basic principle here is that attention given to the slightly more energizing inhalation can be associated with the energizing awakening factors, whereas attention given to the exhalation, which is a little more relaxing, can be associated with the calming awakening factors. This suggestion is just about directing attention and should be implemented without influencing or changing the breath itself. Such a mode of paying attention would be particularly relevant when, after having proceeded through one of the tetrads, we are just dwelling with continuous awareness of the final theme aroused through this tetrad. Applying this to actual practice, first of all, one or more cycles of the breath can be used to strengthen the grounding of the awakening factor of mindfulness in proprioceptive awareness of the body. Next, based on the continuity of being mindful of the alternation between inhalations and exhalations, during the inhalation, attention can be directed to strengthening the three energizing awakening factors of investigation of dharmas, energy, and joy. During the exhalation, attention can strengthen the three calming awakening factors of tranquility, concentration, and equipoise. The resulting themes that emerge with the inhalation, the exhalation respectively are inhalation, joyfully sustained interest. Exhalation, calmly composed balance. In this way, being mindful of the natural alternation between inhalation and exhalation can serve as a reminder of the balance required between these two sets of three awakening factors. When mindfulness notices that practice has become a bit sluggish, more attention to the inhalation and the awakening factors of investigation of Dharma's energy and joy can help to recover balance. If mindfulness notices that practice has become a bit agitated, more attention to the exhalation and the awakening factors of tranquility, concentration, and equipoise can likewise serve to balance. At times, practice may evolve based on a particular basic rhythm or several cycles of breath. For the duration of one such cycle, we could emphasize keeping mindfulness established in relation to what has emerged with the conclusion of the tetra we have been working with. Once the cycle is over, we check in on the condition of the mind in order to see if it needs to be slightly more energized or else a little more calmed. Depending on what seems appropriate, we then cultivate the three energizers, investigation, energy, joy, or the three karmas, tranquility, concentration, equipoise. If checking in on the condition of the mind has not revealed any discernible indication that would make one of these two groupings appear preferable, we might just give emphasis to mindfulness. Throughout, mindfulness remains the foundation for each of these alternative approaches to balance. In addition to being helpful for maintaining balance, the mode of practice described above also prevents the mind from going into autopilot mode. Checking in at regular intervals and then deciding what to do next, based on having discerned the present condition of the mind, keeps us interested and introduces an element of liveliness into the practice. The main theme throughout remains impermanence, inculcated primarily through being continuously mindful of the breath. At the same time, the fact of impermanence can also find reflection in this practice of monitoring current conditions and, as they change, adjusting to them. After depicting the arousing of the awakening factors with each tetrad of practice, the Anapanasati Sutta continues by explaining how cultivation of mindfulness of breathing can lead to knowledge and liberation. This explanation takes the following form. One develops the mindfulness awakening factor, independence on seclusion, independence on dispassion, and independence on cessation, culminating in letting go. One develops the investigation of Dharma's awakening factor, independence on seclusion, independence on dispassion, and independence on cessation, culminating in letting go. One develops the energy awakening factor, independence on seclusion, independence on dispassion, and independence on cessation, culminating in letting go. One develops the joy awakening factor, independence on seclusion, independence on dispassion, and independence on cessation, culminating in letting go. One develops the tranquility awakening factor, independence on seclusion, independence on dispassion, and independence on cessation, culminating in letting go. One develops the concentration awakening factor, independence on seclusion, independence on dispassion, and independence on cessation, culminating in letting go. One develops the equipoise awakening factor, independence on seclusion, independence on dispassion, and independence on cessation, culminating in letting go. In what follows, I will refer to the mention of seclusion, dispassion, cessation, letting go in this instruction as the awakening themes that are to be cultivated once the awakening factors have been established. Stated in brief, I take these awakening themes to point to seclusion from all that is unwholesome, dispassion as the fading away of craving, and the gradual cessation of all that is dukkha. In dependence on these three, the mind increasingly learns to let go, in the sense of inclining towards nirvana. In this way, based on being mindful of the flow of impermanent experience, investigation supported by energy could check if seclusion from all that is unwholesome is firmly established. If there's any trace of passion that could be turned into dispassion, any trace of craving that can be allowed to cease. And perhaps, most importantly, if there's any trace of I-making or my-making, however subtle, that can be let go of. Each of these investigations is productive of joy and tranquility. They lead to the mind becoming concentrated and balanced, ready for the plunge into the unconditioned. From the viewpoint of knowledge and liberation as the final goal of mindfulness of breathing, the three awakening themes of seclusion, dispassion, and cessation could be seen as establishing the required knowledge. With the awakening theme of letting go, liberation can take place. Regarding this overall aim of knowledge and liberation, it is noteworthy that, as already mentioned in the previous chapter, the four awakening themes to be related to each awakening factor closely resemble the four steps in the final tetrad of the instructions for mindfulness of breathing. The main difference is that instead of seclusion, the first step in the fourth tetrad is impermanence. Given that temporary seclusion from the hindrances is to be established already at the outset of the scheme of 16 steps, it is perhaps only natural that this aspect is replaced by highlighting the insight that forms the undercurrent of the entire scheme, which is impermanence. In this way, impermanence comes right to the forefront of attention and serves as an entry into dispassion and cessation, culminating in letting go. This similarity between the four awakening themes and the final four steps shows that, whereas with the first three tetras the seven awakening factors can be aroused, the final tetrad can bring them to maturation by moving through the awakening themes. In other words, a progression through these 16 steps of mindfulness of breathing covers all that is needed for progress to awakening, as it implements the four satipatthanas, enables the arousal of each of the seven awakening factors, and activates their awakening potential. The first step of impermanence comes in particularly handy if the previous tetrad on contemplation of the mind has been employed as an avenue for entry into absorption. On emergence, contemplation of impermanence is the most appropriate way of continuing meditation, thereby making sure that the strength of concentration still present is put to good use, and that the experience of absorption is divested of any potential clinging and attachment. If we have instead opted for the cultivation of insight in terms of emptiness as a way of implementing the injunction to liberate the mind, contemplation of impermanence rounds off such insight by strengthening its foundation. It is precisely because all aspects of personal experience are changing that they are not fit to be clung to as a self or to be appropriated as belonging to a self. Whether we conclude the previous tetrad on contemplation of the mind with an emphasis on tranquility or on insight, actualizing the awakening themes simply requires progressing through the fourth tetrad on contemplation of dharmas. Due to the previous practice of the other tetrads, by this time the awakening factors will have been established. Comparable to the simplified approach of relating the balancing of the awakening factors to the alternation between inhalation and exhalation, suggested above, a similarly simplified approach is possible with the awakening themes. Once all awakening factors have been established, we might relate seclusion, dispassion, and cessation to the three stages of a single inhalation, its beginning, middle, and end, and letting go to the whole of the exhalation. At other times, when practice requires still more simplicity, we might just give emphasis to letting go, as long as we are fairly sure that our previous meditative progression has already successfully established the other three awakening themes of seclusion, dispassion, and cessation. In this way, the momentum can be maintained by adjusting to different situations, ensuring that the practice remains lively rather than becoming mechanical. Of central importance in the cultivation of mindfulness of breathing is the final step and the last of the awakening themes, letting go. Its relevance is similar to the last section of the part of the Satipatthana Sutta that I have dubbed the refrain. According to this last section, with any Satipatthana contemplation, we should abide independently without clinging to anything in the world. In the Anapanasati Sutta, this injunction appears to have its counterpart in letting go as the culmination point of the 16 steps. The gradual building up to such letting go can be appreciated by taking a closer look at how it relates to each of the tetras. The whole practice starts off with seclusion from the hindrances, which enables establishing a focus on the long breath without being carried away by distraction. Increasing aloofness from the hindrances achieved in this way facilitates remaining aware of the comparatively subtler short breath. A reduced need for vigilance regarding potential distraction through a recurrence of the hindrances allows us to progress from a focus on the breath to the more relaxed and broad awareness of the whole body, with the breath kept in peripheral awareness. At this stage, anything that might agitate the body is left behind for good, leading to a deep relaxing and calming of any bodily activity. The completion of the first tetrad on contemplation of the body results in a peaceful and calm condition of the mind as the fruition of having left behind any of the hindrances that might lead to tension at the bodily level. The culmination point of this tetrad could be seen as a thorough letting go of any bodily tension. And the experience of joy relies on the mind being at least temporarily aloof from complete immersion in thinking and reflection. With attachment to the exhilaration of joy left behind, the comparatively calm experience of happiness can arise. A further diminishing of attachment makes it possible to step back, as it were, and view anything that happens in the mind as simply manifestations of mental activity. Letting go of any involvement with whatever happens in the mind eventually results in calming mental activity. The completion of the second tetrad on contemplation of feeling tones leads to a peaceful and calm condition of the mind, due to having left behind involvement in mental activity. As the fruition of a gradual diminishing of attachment and involvement, a culmination point is reached by letting go of thought activity. Being able to experience the mind relies on having let go of mental activity, and thereby what provides a prominent base for our sense of identity. The deepening of this experience naturally leads to the experience of gladness and to the mind becoming effortlessly concentrated. In the mode of practice presented here, liberating the mind then requires letting go of all conceit of I and appropriation as mine. The completion of the third tetrad on contemplation of the mind yields a profoundly peaceful dwelling in emptiness, due to having left behind all identification with and appropriation of any aspect of experience. Its culmination point is the letting go of all selfing. Building on this groundwork in modes of letting go, achieved through the previous three tetrads in this way, the fourth tetrad on contemplation of dharmas complements the cultivation of insight by bringing impermanence right to the forefront of meditative attention, thereby arousing knowledge, vidya, and countering ignorance, avidya. Countering the current of ignorance, we cultivate the steps that correspond to the three awakening themes of dispassion and cessation, culminating in letting go. In this way, our knowledge becomes increasingly liberating. The correlations suggested here are meant to help accentuate the gradual deepening of letting go during a progression through the 16 steps. Presented in summary, the proposed correlations are: first tetrad, body, let go of tension; second tetrad, feeling tones, let go of thought; third tetrad, mind, let go of selfing; fourth tetrad, dharmas, totally let go. This can serve as a complement to the main theme set by the last step of each tetrad as a reference point for cultivating the awakening factors. In this way, calming bodily activity can come to be invested with a sense of freedom from tension. Calming mental activity can be associated with the beauty of a silent mind free from thought. Liberating the mind can find its expression in emptying the mind from the burden of selfing. Letting go as the culmination point of the 16 steps and the four awakening themes can serve to incline the mind towards the unconditioned. The same modalities of letting go can also be cultivated during walking meditation. Fully embodied walking can lead to letting go of bodily tension, corresponding to an implementation of steps 3 and 4, experiencing the whole body and calming bodily activity. Awareness of mental activity while walking can lead to letting go of thought activity, corresponding to an implementation of steps 7 and 8, experiencing and calming mental activity. Turning inwards to the knowing quality can lead to letting go of selfing in relation to the activity of walking, corresponding to an implementation of steps 9 and 12, experiencing and liberating the mind. Giving full importance to the process character of walking as a manifestation of impermanence can lead to letting go of all that is subject to the law of change, corresponding to an implementation of steps 13 and 16, contemplating impermanence and letting go. On a side note, the steps chosen for walking meditation reflect the somewhat different character of the first and second tetrad, body and feeling tones, compared to the third and fourth tetrad, mind and dharmas. As mentioned earlier, the first and second tetrad proceed through two distinct themes, which are introduced with the respective first and third step, whereas the third and fourth tetrad have a single theme, introduced with their first step. For this same reason, the above suggested application of letting go to walking meditation can combine the third and the fourth steps of the first two tetrads, but instead relates the first to the fourth steps of the last two tetrads. In this way, with walking meditation, the same free choosing of a particular theme from one of the four tetrads could be practiced as with the 16 steps during sitting meditation. In each case, one topic can be the foundation for walking, namely embodied walking, walking away of thoughts, turning inwards to the knowing of the walking, and attending to the process character of the experience of walking. Whenever possible, this can lead on to the respective types of letting go. The preliminaries discussed in the first chapter correspond to a condor getting high into the air. With the body contemplation tetrad, the condor reaches sufficient height, and only very minor adjustments of the wings' positions are needed to keep balance while gliding along, which corresponds to the process of breathing that we keep in peripheral awareness throughout. Flying effortlessly over mountaintop after mountaintop, the bodily stillness of the condor illustrates the bodily tranquility achieved with the completion of the first tetrad of contemplation of the body. The continuously changing scenery through which the condor flies stands for the continuous awareness of impermanence that pervades the whole practice of mindfulness of breathing. With the conclusion of the second tetrad on contemplation of feeling tones, leading up to a calming of mental activity, the head of the condor becomes transparent. The transparency of the head symbolizes the clarity of the mind free of mental chatter, once thought activity has gone into abeyance. The changing scenery continues to represent awareness of impermanence that has become more apparent due to the transparency of the head. As the third tetrad on contemplation of the mind comes to completion in the way described here, with liberating the mind understood as pointing in particular to freedom from self-referentiality, the torso of the condor also becomes transparent. The transparency of the condor's torso signifies that the conceit of an eye has gone into abeyance. Due to the increasing transparency of the condor, the changing scenery becomes still more visible, reflecting an increasingly comprehensive vision of impermanence as a result of relinquishing all self-notions. At this point of practice, when the awakening factors have been established, the torso of the condor can come to represent mindfulness, and the wings the other six awakening factors, with one wing standing for the three that energize, and the other wing for the three that calm. The minimal adjustments of the condor's wings, when gliding along, represents the need for similarly minimal adjustments to keep the awakening factors in balance. With the onset of the fourth tetrad, the condor becomes completely transparent, as its wings also become invisible. In this way, the gradual transparency of the condor reflects the gradual progression in the cultivation of the awakening factors. The condor still keeps flying effortlessly over mountaintop after mountaintop, but it is no longer visible, similar to the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland, which gradually disappears until only a smile remains. As the condor has become completely transparent, the changing scenery is in turn completely visible. This corresponds to bringing impermanence right to the forefront of attention at the outset of the present tetrad on contemplation of dharmas. All that remains to be seen is a superb letting go, with whose complete implementation even the mountains vanish. The invisibility of both the condor and the mountains then symbolizes the superb letting go of all conditioned phenomena that can take place with the completion of the 16 steps of mindfulness of breathing. Summary. Proceeding once through the 16 steps can implicitly touch on each of the seven awakening factors during the first three tetrads on contemplation of the body, feeling tones, and the mind. The last tetrad on contemplation of dharmas relates to the awakening themes. Based on seclusion from all that is unwholesome, we cultivate dispassion as the fading away of craving and the gradual cessation of all that is dukkha. In dependence on these three, the mind becomes ready to let go by inclining towards nirvana. Based on having once gone through the entire scheme, any of the tetrads can be taken up individually, with the respective last step serving as a reference point for the awakening factors. Their cultivation requires balancing based on mindfulness. Lack of energy can be countered by more emphasis on investigation energy joy. Excess of energy by instead giving attention to tranquility, concentration, equipoise. The main goal of the approach to mindfulness of breathing presented here remains throughout to arouse and cultivate the awakening factors based on being continuously aware of the changing nature of the breath, with the final aim of letting go as completely as possible.